Oh, praise the Lord. A sound man's ready to go. Let's stand and turn to hymn 31 for our final hymn this evening. We're going to sing the first and the last, When Morning Comes. What a day that'll be. Hymn 31.
And we cannot understand all the way with God will lead us to a blessed promised land. But he'll learn us from his love and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. On the third, patience wins and prayers often takes us unawares, and our hearts are led away, for he's thoughtless will indeed, and we wonder why the rest, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. Everybody now, sing! By and by, when the morning comes, with the saints of God all gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. One more time! By and by, when the morning comes, oh, the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Understand it better by and by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Please be seated, folks.
You don't play that at my house first thing in the morning. All the neighbors will be
there. That'll wake them up quick, won't it, Mark? Yes. Glory to God for that. All right. Let's grab our Bibles and... let's open up to the book of Isaiah tonight, folks, and I'm really excited tonight because of the material we're covering concerning the millennial kingdom. And for the tape, we're on the millennial kingdom part 10. This is week 10. And we're going to be looking tonight at the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Not at the Lord's house, that'll be next week, but we're going to be looking at the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. A fascinating subject in the Bible, which has a ton of information concerning it. You know that I like to do these charts and diagrams. Well, I made you another one this week. These dimensions are from Scripture. We know they're accurate. And these distances are going to shock you. Because I'm gonna hand this to you so you can pass it around and check this out. On the top of the Millennial Mountain of the Lord's house, which is going to be massive. I'm going to show you that tonight. It's going to be absolutely huge. There's going to be a plateau, like right now you have up on the, it's called the Temple Mount. There'll be a Temple Mount during the millennium, but it's going to be massive. It's going to be 50 miles wide, 50 miles long. You see that? Square. It's a 50-mile square plateau. In the middle of that plateau, there's going to be some incredible things. The Millennial Temple, for instance. The Millennial Temple will be in the north. There's three sections to this plateau. In the northern section, we're going to look at this in a minute. There'll be the Millennial Temple that the Lord Messiah will build. It's going to be unlike any temple. We're going to look at it next week. There's ever been in the history of the world. Now, somebody tell me, how many temples are there in the Bible? How many temples?
13,
think.
13,
how many?
13.
No. I mean, no. I'm sorry.
Be four, right?
That's right. There's four. There's four temples. Can anybody name the four temples of Scripture? There was first, begins with an S.
Solomon's
temple. There was second, begins with a Z.
Zion.
Zerubbabel's temple, which was renovated by Herod. Don't anybody tell you Herod's temple. Herod renovated Zerubbabel's temple. That's the second. That was 2,000 years ago. The third temple is called the, begins with a T,
Tribulation
Period Temple. The fourth temple begins with an M, the Millennial Temple of the Lord. This one's going to be unlike any there's ever been in history because it's going to be over a mile wide and a mile long. It'll sit in the northern section of this plateau. On either side, you'll have areas of for growing crops during to eat food. And there'll be a 20-mile by 20-mile section on the left side that would be the western side of the temple, and that will be a living area for the priest, the millennial priest. And then on the east side of the millennial temple, there'll be a 20-by-20-mile for the sons of Zadok. And I'm going to talk about the sons of Zadok tonight a little bit, not a lot. Middle section, called the central section, is for the Levites. The Levites do all the ministry of the temple and bringing sacrifices and all that stuff. Then, down here in the southern section, you're going to have the millennial Jerusalem. It's 10 miles wide, 10 miles high, okay? Long, I should say. The millennial city of Jerusalem, 10 by 10. And this is an incredible north, west, southeast. You can pass that around as we get going tonight. In Isaiah chapter number 2, all of that on that chart I drew is going to be on top of the millennial mountain of the Lord's house. Now, at the time of the second coming of Messiah, folks, when he begins to set up his kingdom, the land of Israel will undergo some tremendous geographical and topographical changes, modifications. The topography of Israel will be radically different than what it is today. And this will be done by the hand of Messiah. He will change the landscape, okay? Listen now, Jerusalem will be greatly modified. One of the key changes will be the rise of a massively high mountain in Jerusalem, which will become the highest peak of planet Earth throughout the thousand-year kingdom. Now, it is on top of this great mountain that we're going to see tonight in Jerusalem that the millennial temple will sit. And from that summit, the Shekinah glory of God will be seen for all the world. It will ascend like it did in days of old. The Shekinah glory will return to Israel. And it will sit there on top of that mount and ascend to heaven throughout the thousand years. This millennial mountain of the Lord's house we will examine tonight. First, observe its geographical location. Look with me in Isaiah chapter number 2. Isaiah chapter number 2. Look at verse number 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and what?
Jerusalem.
Judah, of course, is the southern kingdom where Jerusalem sits. And he says this, what he's about to see is in Jerusalem, in the southern kingdom. Jerusalem, Judah. Now, why is it that this mountain of the Lord's house will be erected at Jerusalem? What was there 2,000 years ago, which has not existed since that time? The temple, right? The temple has to be rebuilt. The tribulation period temple will be obliterated because it will have been defiled by Antichrist. This is a brand new temple, unlike any temple there's ever been. Secondly, notice when it will be established. Look in chapter 2 of Isaiah. Look at verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days. You see that? In the last days. That the what? The mountain. Not the Lord's house. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Now, the last days, mark this down, equals millennial days. The last days of the existence of this planet as it is, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, we know that. But the last days of this planet as it is in its current state are the millennial days. And it's then that this mountain will appear on planet Earth. Thirdly, observe its height. Look at verse 2 again. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Now, notice here, thirdly, the height of this mountain will exceed all existing mountains on planet Earth. Currently, the highest mountain on Earth is Everest. It measures 29,000 something feet. So this tells me by process of deduction that this millennial mountain, thank you, Lord, is going to exceed 30,000 feet because it's going to be higher than Everest. Amen? It's going to be incredible. Can you imagine the gondolas and the auto road and the cog railway, whatever it is that the Lord's going to have for folks to get up and down it? It's going to be incredible. Fourthly, notice who will travel to it, to this millennial mountain. Verse 2 says that it shall be exalted above the hills, and what's that next word? All nations shall flow unto it. Hey, folks, somebody asked me, Pastor, have you ever been to Israel? I said, no, but I'm going. I'm going. And so are you if you're saved. Glory to God. And during the millennium, everybody will have to make pilgrimages to Israel. I'm going to show you why in a minute. But listen, all nations shall flow to this millennial mountain. It will be the wonder of the world. It will be the greatest thing there's ever been because the Lord will sit atop this mountain. It will be the mountain of the Lord, verse 2 says, of the Lord's house. It's where God lives. Amen. I love it. Now, fifthly, observe the reason for this pilgrimage. Look at verse 3. And many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the what? Mountain. Not to the Lord's house, but to the mountain of the Lord. To the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways. Notice this. They're going for a reason. And we will walk in his paths. Why? For out of Zion, that's Jerusalem, shall go forth the what? The law. Time out, church. What law? What law is the prophet by the Holy Ghost talking about in verse 3?
The kingdom law.
That's right. That's right, Val. Absolutely. It's kingdom law. You got to go to Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, to get kingdom law. Jesus was telling them in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, kingdom laws. Because why? He wanted to set up the millennial kingdom. Folks, it's so clear when you see it. And you got all these guys behind pulpits preaching Matthew 5, 6, and 7. See, if you don't forgive your brother, you can't go to heaven. And you can't be forgiven. Hey, bud, too late. I'm already forgiven. I'm already forgiven. The only thing that'll do is break fellowship with God if you've got aught in your heart against a brother. You're not going to lose your salvation. That's kingdom law. That's not grace law. There's three laws, folks. There's three laws in the Bible. The first is Mosaic law. That's legal law. Then there's grace law called the law of the Spirit. The law of Moses, the law of the Spirit. And then there's kingdom law. Kingdom law hasn't come into effect yet. But it's going to. And all nations will go to Jerusalem. And look what it says. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. He's going to issue the laws. And you better obey them. You'll be cast into a Gehenna if you're not. That's in another portion of scripture, Isaiah 66. But look at this. And the word of the Lord. From where?
Jerusalem.
They've got to go get their marching orders from the Lord at Jerusalem, all nations. I love it. Fifthly, now this kingdom law will emanate from this mountain in Jerusalem to all the world. Sixthly, notice the judge of this kingdom. Verse 4, and he, this is, let me just tell you, it's Messiah. There's no question who this is. And he shall, what?
Judge
amongst the nations. He's going to rule the world. It's a theocracy, folks. No more Obama. No more Putin. No more Assad and Ahmadinejad and all these punks that think there's some dictator. The Lord Jesus Christ will rule the world at this time. Look, he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. Oh, yeah, he's going to set them straight. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Why? He says, disarm your nuclear weapons, boys. You don't need them now. The king is present. No war during the millennium. And their spears into pruning hooks. That's for cultivating crops. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. The king is present. You don't fight in the king's presence. You do what he says. Amen? Notice, the judge. By the way, no more corrupt judges. He's the judge. No more corrupt judges saying men can marry men. And you can murder babies in their mother's womb before they're even born. That's called partial birth abortion. That's evil. No more of that. Seventhly, notice the result of this kingdom. Of this kingdom law, I should say. Look at verse 4. What is the result of this kingdom law? Perfect peace. You know, before I got saved, I used to love to watch the Miss America pageant, you know, Miss Universe pageant, you know. I'm a guy. And before I got saved, honey, and they'd always say, you know, they'd interview the gal up there. They'd interview the gal and say, what do you have to say? What is your wish for the world? World peace. World peace. Oh, they all say world peace, you know. Well, guess what, ladies? It's coming. Because when the Prince of Peace shows up, there's going to be world peace. Every one of those gals will be right. There'll be world peace at last. No war will be the order of the day. Universal peace. Eighthly, this millennial mountain will become the center of Jewish worship of the king. Look at Isaiah 27. I love it. Because this millennial mountain will become the very center of Jewish worship. In Isaiah chapter 27, don't miss this. Look at verse 1. In that day, I'll give you a hint, it's speaking of the millennium. The Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish who? Leviathan. You all know who Leviathan is in the Bible, right? That's Antichrist. The piercing serpent. See? He's the devil incarnate. And even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. That's Messiah. He's coming back and he's going to crush his head under our feet, the Bible says. I love that. Now that's at the beginning, or I should say the end of the tribulation period, before the beginning of the millennium. He does this. We know that. In that day, it's the day of the Lord, shall ye sing unto her a vineyard of red wine. Now, somebody tell me, who is the vineyard in the Old Testament? Who is the vineyard speaking of? Always Israel. That's Isaiah chapter 5. The Lord had planted a vineyard. He had taken out the stones thereof. He hedged it in. He blessed it with a wine press, all that stuff. Look at verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. Folks, he's talking about Israel. Amen? You can't annihilate the Jews because of verse 3. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it, this is the Holy Spirit, every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. See, he's going to be physically, bodily present with them during the millennium, watching over them night and day. Now, look at verse 4. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? Somebody want to challenge me to a fight? Look at verse 4. I would go through them. I would burn them together. The Lord says, you don't want to mess with me. You get hurt real bad. Verse 5. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me. And he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob. Notice the context. It's the seed of Jacob. To take root. Israel shall blossom and bud. Radical Islam hates these verses. And fill the face of the world with there's going to be Jews everywhere. Oh, boy. Yeah, the Arab terrorists, they're not going to like this at all. Now, drop down with me to verse 13. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 13, it's the millennium. And it shall come to pass in that day, the millennial day, the seventh day, that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come. Now, let me just tell you, he's speaking of the Jews. Worldwide dispersion, they're being regathered to the kingdom. Look at it, verse 13. And that great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come, which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria. Who is the Assyrian in Scripture? Always speaking of Antichrist prophetically. They're going to be delivered from the Assyrian. And the outcasts in the land of Egypt and shall worship the Lord in the holy what? Mount. The mount. That's speaking about the millennial mountain of the Lord's house right there. And he says they're going to come to that mount where?
Jerusalem.
At Jerusalem. And they're going to do what? worship the Lord. Why? Because Jerusalem, this mountain, this incredible, glorious mountain, will become the center of Jewish worship throughout the 1,000 years. Now, something else. Ninthly, Gentiles will also come to pray at this mount. Look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. It will be requisite to travel to this mount from all nations. Look at it. You get no rain if you don't. Chapter 56 of Isaiah. Look at verse 6. Also, the sons of the stranger, that's Gentiles, that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to keep his servants, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. By the way, the Sabbath is coming back. Right now, you are unbiblical if you are keeping Sabbath. And if you're not Jewish, you're unbiblical. No Gentile was ever commanded to keep the Sabbath. Okay? But during the millennium, the Sabbath will be back in effect. Why? Who's ruling the world? The Jews. The Jews are back in charge. And look at, take hold of my covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy what?
Mountain.
Somebody's traveling to Israel to a specific mountain. And make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. I love it. During the millennium, all people will go there to pray. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of China. Nope.
Israel.
Nope. Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. He's speaking of Gentile converts. And they're going to also travel to the Holy Land. These Arabs make the Mecca pilgrimage. And a lot of them just trample each other and trample each other to death. Every year, scores of them die. It's ridiculous. Nonsense. I mean, none of that. Tenthly, the Jews will be escorted to this mountain by Gentiles. Look at chapter 66, if you're still in Isaiah. Chapter 66, there will be personal escort of every Jew to this mountain. Isaiah 66, look with me. The context is the millennium. Look at verse 20. And they, that's the Gentiles, shall bring all your brethren, that's Jewish brethren, by the way, for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in 767s, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, and upon aircraft carriers, to my holy what? Mountain. They're going to a mountain, folks. And Jerusalem, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord. Jerusalem will become a mountain. And as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, I will take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. This will occur during the millennium. Now, something else. 11th. Notice a repetition of this promise. Go to Micah. Flip forward from Jeremiah. Past Ezekiel to Micah and go to Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. And just after Jonah, you'll find Micah just prior to Nahum. Micah chapter 4. Now, watch how the Holy Spirit gives almost verbatim the same prophecy to a different prophet. You know, the Bible says in the mouth of one or two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. When God says something once, we need to listen. When he says something twice, you better believe it. Verse 1, Micah 4, 1. But in the last days, millennium, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains. And it, the mountain, shall be exalted above the hills, all hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Now, 12, observe the promise of lush greenery and vegetation abundant. Go back to Ezekiel. Go back from where you are and you'll hit the book of Ezekiel, chapter 17. It is going to become more fruitful than it ever has been, Israel I'm talking, in history. It's going to be a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Bible promises. Look with me in Ezekiel 17. Oh, this is powerful. The king's presence will cause such fruitfulness of the land. It will be amazing, even the desert. Look at verse 18. Ezekiel 17, 18. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant. Now, who broke the covenant? Who's going to break the covenant during the tribulation period with Israel? The Antichrist. Verse 18 is speaking of the broken covenant, that Antichrist. Look at it. Seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant, when, lo, he had given his hand, don't believe him, and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. He says, I'm going to take care of that Antichrist. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon. We studied this in the second coming messages, and will plead with him there for his trespass that he had trespassed against me. Remember his worldwide headquarters, Babylon. And all his fugitives, with all his bands, that's all of the armies of Antichrist, shall fall by the sword. And they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds. And ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. Verse 22, thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. Notice the highest branch. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one. It's Messiah. And will plant it upon a what? High mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. And it shall bring forth boughs. And it's the kingdom. It's the kingdom of Israel. And bear fruit and a goodly Be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. There's going to be angelic assistance. In the shadow of the branches thereof, this great kingdom, shall they dwell. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree and have exalted the low tree. The high tree was Antichrist, the low tree was Israel. I have dried up the green tree, that was the kingdom of Antichrist, universal, and have made the dry tree, Israel, to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Now, notice 13, the promise to Israel of millennial service in this mountain, Ezekiel chapter 20. He promises Israel millennial service during the 1,000 years. Ezekiel chapter 20, look at verse 5. And say unto them, Ezekiel, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel and lifted up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, those are physical Jews, folks, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, remember that? When I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God, that was a national election of a nation. In the day that I lifted up mine hand unto them to bring them forth of the land of Egypt into a land that I had espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands. Watch what he promises them down in verse 40. Look at verse 40. For in mine holy mountain, millennial mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them, and there will I require your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. I will accept you, Israel, with your sweet savor when I bring you out from the people, Gentiles, and gather you out of the countries, nations, whither ye've been scattered by the Antichrist. And I will be sanctified in you, Israel, before the heathen. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. They're born again now. And when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for the which I lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers, and there shall ye remember your ways. Look at verse 43. And all your doings where ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. You know what that is? That's true repentance. That's true repentance right there. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you, Israel, for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. He says, you're going to serve me in this holy mount at Jerusalem. They're going to be his servants. 14th tonight, observe that this holy mountain will overlook Jerusalem. Look at Ezekiel chapter 40. Ezekiel chapter number 40. Glory to God. Ezekiel chapter 40. Look at verse number 1. Did everybody get a look at that chart, that diagram I drew? Okay. In Ezekiel chapter 40, in the 25th year of our captivity, in the beginning of the year, in the 10th day of the month, time out, church. Ezekiel 40, 41, 42, 43, 44, all the way to 48, is all describing the millennial kingdom of Messiah. All of it is prophetic. Okay? This kingdom does not yet exist. It's going to shortly. But 40 through 48 of Ezekiel is all millennium. All of it. He describes a temple up top of a high mountain. He describes a king reigning and ruling the world from Jerusalem. He describes a river, a millennial river. We're going to look at that in 2 weeks. He describes incredible glory here in Israel. And look what he says here. In the 14th year after that the city was smitten, in the selfsame day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me thither. Where's the thither? That's Jerusalem. In the visions of God brought he me into the land of Israel. He gives Ezekiel a glimpse of the millennial kingdom. Watch. And set me upon a very high what?
Mountain.
There it is. And by which was as the frame of a city on the south. Notice where it's located, on the south of this mountain. And he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed. And he stood in the gate. And the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thine heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them, the Jews, unto thee art thou brought hither. Declare all that thou seest to who? House of Israel. At the time of this writing, folks, Israel is in Babylon, in captivity. And the Lord tells Ezekiel, I want you to give them a glimpse of the coming kingdom that they will enjoy when I resurrect them who believe on me. Okay? Chapter 38, don't turn there. Chapter 38 of Ezekiel is parenthetical. Chapter 38 is dealing with the battle of Gog and Magog, which will take place at the end of the millennium. Chapter 39 is the battle of Armageddon before the millennium. Okay? The Holy Spirit did this on purpose, so you've got to study to get this right. Chapter 38 of Ezekiel is the war at the end of the millennium. Chapter 39 is sequential because it goes from the Armageddon into the millennium. Okay, now, this is incredible to me because this mountain will overlook the holy city, Jerusalem, which will be the capital of the world during the 1,000 years. Observe the dimensions of this millennial mountain. Go to Ezekiel 45. These are incredible dimensions, folks. The Holy Spirit of God does not use filler words. We're literalists here at KJV Bible Baptist Church. We take God at his word, unless he tells us he's speaking parabolically or allegorically. Look in chapter 45, verse 1. Moreover, when ye shall divide by lot, the what?
The land.
The land of Israel for an inheritance. ye shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, an holy oblation. Listen, an holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 reeds, and the breadth shall be 10,000. This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about. What is God saying here in verse 1? He's saying there's going to be 12 lots, okay, of the land of Israel for the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to run like this. Look, folks. They're going to run parallel. One lot here, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Nebulon, Zaphtali, all these, okay? And in the middle of these 12 lots, there's going to be one lot called an holy oblation. That's where the mountain will sit. That's devoted to the Lord himself. That's what verse 1 is saying. Now look at the dimensions given in verse number 1. Notice here that this millennial mountain is called an oblation because it is intended for holy use and will contain the millennial temple on top of it. According to verse 1, folks, there will be a 50-mile square plateau on the top of this mountain, over 30,000 feet elevation above sea level, which will be divided into three sections. You can look at the chart. First, the northern section will be 20 by 50 miles. It will contain the millennial temple, which measures 1 by 1 mile. Look at verse 2. I want to show you this, these three sections on top of the mount. Look at verse 2. Of this, that's of this holy oblation, the portion where the mountain sits, of this there shall be for the sanctuary. Tell me, what's that talking about? What's the sanctuary? The temple, 500 in length, which 500 in breadth, square, roundabout, and 50 cubits roundabout for the suburbs thereof. Now, this is the northern section being described in verse 2. Also in verse 3, of this measure shalt thou measure the length 25,000 and the breadth 10,000. And in it shall be the sanctuary, the temple, the most holy place. Why is it holy? Because God is there. Oh, this is good stuff, folks. The remainder of the northern section will be, according to verse 3 and 4, for the millennial priests of the Lord. Look at verse number 4. The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary. There'll be temple service going on. We're going to look at that next week. Which shall come near to minister unto the Lord. And it shall be a place for their houses. The priests have to have, you know, beds to sleep in. And an holy place for the sanctuary. So the northern section will contain the temple. Secondly, the central section of the mount of the plateau on top of the holy mount will measure 20 by 50 miles as well. And it will be for the Levites. Look at verse 5. And the 25,000 of length and 10,000 of breadth shall also the Levites, the ministers of the house, have for themselves for a possession for 20 chambers. Okay. Thirdly, the southern section will be 10 miles by 50 miles, a little bit half the size of the other two. And it will be for David, the prince. Look at verse 6. And ye shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad and 25,000 long over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel, and a portion shall be for the prince, not the king, but the prince, on the one side and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion, and of the possession of the city before the oblation of the holy portion, and before the possession of the city, Jerusalem, from the west side westward, and from the east side eastward. It runs parallel. And the length shall be over against one of the portions, from the west border unto the east border. Verse 8, in the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people. They'll be righteous. And the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So this central section going all the way across Israel, in which Jerusalem sits, in which the millennial mountain sits, on top of which the temple sits, will be the center of Israel. And then there'll be like six lots above it, north of it, and six lots south of it for the 12 tribes. Okay? And they're each going to have their lot, the 12 tribes, to live in. Now, on either side of the city will be fields used for growing food and crops throughout the 1,000 years. These will measure 10 miles by 20 miles. All right, 16th tonight. Further details, almost done, folks. Further details given concerning the top of the mount. Go with me to chapter 48. We'll finish up. Don't miss this, because in chapter 48, we have one of the most amazing prophecies of the Word of God. This is incredible. This speaks of the millennial temple and who will sit upon the throne of the Lord at that time. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 48. Look with me at verse number 1. Verse 1. Now, these are the names of the tribes from the north end of the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one go to Hamath, Hazar-Reden, the border of Damascus northward, to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides, eastward, westward, a portion for Dan. Now, in verses 1 through 7, he's giving you the millennial borders of the 12 tribes, okay? Each of the 12 tribes will have their own plot of land, huge plot of land. And it will go north to south. In the middle will be the holy oblation, the mountain of the Lord, okay? Now, this gives us the alignment of the allotments for the 12 tribes of Israel. Then, in verse 8, he again refers to the millennial mountain, the holy oblation. Look at it. In verse 8, and by the border of Judah, that's the southern kingdom where Jerusalem sits, from the east side unto the west side shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 5,000 and 20,000 reeds in breadth and length as one of the other parts from the east side unto the west side. And the sanctuary, the temple, shall be in the midst of it. Now here again, we have the dimension of 50 by 50 miles given in verse 8. Verse 9 gives us the dimensions of the northern section. Look at it. Verse 9. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 5,000 and 20,000 in length and 10,000 in breadth. That's 20 miles by 50 miles, which will contain the millennial temple. Notice it says, which ye shall be, it says in verse number 9, that ye shall offer unto the Lord. In other words, that's where the Lord will sit, the northern section of the plateau. And it will be 20 miles by 50 miles. This will contain the millennial temple. Notice in verse 10 that the descendants of Zadok, the priest, will have a special place. Look at verse 10. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation toward the north, 5,000 and 20,000 in length, and toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south, 5,000 and 20,000 in length, and the sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. Now, look here in verse number 11. He says, it shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok. Zadok. Now, why the sons of Zadok? Listen, it's because the sons of Zadok, we don't have time to go back there, but they were the only segment of the tribe of Levi that remained faithful to the Lord when all the rest went astray. They will have the privilege, because of their earthly faithfulness, to do the temple service to the Lord throughout the 1,000 years. See, it pays to be faithful now, folks. You'll be rewarded then. Amen? Now, verse 11. Look at verse 11. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. They're going to be in the central section because of that. And this oblation, this holy mount of the land that is offered, shall be unto them a thing most holy by the borders of the Levites. Now, in verse number 12, he promises them the privilege of millennial service to the Messiah, King of Kings, okay? Now, then we have the central section again described as being 20 by 50 miles, and it will be for the rest of the tribe of Levi who do not belong to the line of Zadok. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 5,000 and 20,000. This is the central section of the plateau. And 10,000 in breadth. All of the length shall be 5,000 and 20,000, and the breadth 10,000. According to those measurements, it's 20 miles by 50 miles. Again, okay? Next, he again speaks of the southern section. Remember the southern. Now, look at the chart. Pass that around, Miriam. Pass that chart, that diagram around. You'll see the southern section. And this will measure 10 by 50 miles. That's half of the other two. And it will hold the millennial Jerusalem, the city. It will be exactly 10 miles wide and 10 miles long, okay? He then gives us the exact measurement of the millennial Jerusalem to be 10 by 10 in verse 17. Look at it. And the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250, toward the south 250, toward the east 250, and toward the west 250. That's a perfect 10-mile square, okay? That's Jerusalem. Now, this area to the east and west of the city Jerusalem, there'll be two sections, 10 by 20 miles each. They will be for growing food, crops during the 1,000 years. And they will grow, I mean, they will grow so fast you can almost watch them grow because of the incredible fruitfulness of the land during this time. Verse 18, the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward. And it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion. The increase thereof shall be for food. Unto them that serve the city. You see that? Mm-hmm. Now, notice that the city, the millennial Jerusalem, will be used by all 12 tribes of Israel. Look at verse 19. And they that serve the city, that's the millennial Jerusalem, shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. The Jews are going to have the privilege of going up back and forth into the city. They'll have free access because they're redeemed at this time. They're born again just like you and me. Now, finally, verse 20 states that this great plateau atop the millennial mount will exactly measure 50 by 50 miles square. And it will hold both the millennial temple, the Lord's house, and the millennial Jerusalem, the Lord's city. But the greatest truth of all, beloved, is found in verse 35. Look at it. Verse 35. It was round about 18,000 measures. And the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. Woo! I don't know about you, but this thrills my soul. Because the greatest thing about this millennial mountain will be that Jesus will be there. That thrills my soul. My King is going to rule and reign the world. Church, how blessed are we tonight that this great Messiah, this King of Kings, this glorious God of Israel, who will rule and reign upon the throne of David for 1,000 years, is our personal bridegroom. Yes, we're the queen. Our personal Lord and Master. So my word to you tonight, beloved, serve him like you've never served him before. For soon and very soon, he will come. And he will fulfill every single prophecy of his holy word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for tonight's study. Lord, how we thank you that there's going to be a mountain like there's never been a mountain on planet Earth before, and it's going to be called Mount Zion. It's going to sit in Jerusalem. It's going to rise to a great stature. And Lord, I look forward to going up that hiking that mountain one day. I look forward to going up to see my King. Glory to God. We're so thankful tonight, Lord, that your word contains these truths. They are irrevocable because you said it. I thank you, Lord, that the devil can't stop it from happening because you said it and you will bring it to pass. Lord, tonight we love you. And we thank you that we are a special, special part of your divine plans and purposes because we are the bride of Christ. We're not Israel. No, not to be confused. We are not Israel at all. We are not Jewish. No. We are the bride of Christ. Lord, I thank you that one day each of us said, I do. And you said, I do too. And we became one. I thank you, Lord, that we're in the body of Christ, the family of God. And one day we will serve you in that glorious kingdom. And we'll have glorified bodies at that time. We'll be indestructible. Oh, what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these incredible truths from your word. Lord, there's no book like this book. You can't get this anywhere else in the world. The Bible, the King James Bible, contains these truths. And Lord, you even give us exact measurements of these things to come. How incredible. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. The people said, amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals tonight. We will close with a hymn. We'll stand. And oh, how we look forward to that day. Open up to 339. 339. I don't know about you, but tonight I'm counting my blessings. I'm counting my blessings and I run out of fingers and toes. Because you cannot possibly add up all of the blessings of the Lord in your life if you're saved. In 339, and we're going to sing the first, the second, and the fourth, beloved, of 339. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with the load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Everybody, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
On the fourth,
so if it's a conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, and will never give you till your journey's end.
Yes!
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
Glory to God, Brother Carl, dismiss us in prayer. Wednesday night, if you can, we'll be back in the book of Colossians and prayer meeting. Glory.
Lord, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon each and every one of us daily, Lord, and many of them that we don't even recognize or realize you've given to us, Lord. We thank you for your word to guide us. We thank you, Lord, that by being faithful, you are always there, faithful to us, more faithful to us than we can be to you. You guide us, you walk with us, you keep us safe, Lord. We pray now that we do our work to plant your word in our hearts and our minds, Lord, to keep us ever thinking of you throughout the week, and you'll go forth with us, Lord, to protect us for the day coming and see us safely back again. And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.